We want to look at this text today,
and particularly we want to look at several parts of it.
It closes with these words, "Never worship any other gods or serve them." It also says, "You are the Lord's holy people, as he promised you with his oath." Looking back particularly to Sinai, when he had talked about them as a nation of priests. Would you pray with me?
Dear God and Father, as we think about the many blessings that we have, we've just sung about that. Help us to realize what it means to be your holy people, your set apart people. What it means to have the privilege of worshiping no other gods besides you. What it means to have, by and large, been brought up in places where there is an understanding that there's only one God who's created the heaven and the earth. As we think about that ultimate allegiance and how that plays out, not only in our life, but in the lives of others, help us once again to see your greatness and to rejoice and bless you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. It was 48 years ago in the summer that my wife and I had been called to the mission field in Africa. We were in mission school just at this time. There were 6 weeks of orientation and training. And we came to understand that our responsibility for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod would be to be evangelistic missionaries in West Africa, particularly with the work of introducing our good friend Jesus to a nation of people, about 80,000 of them, with their own language and their own ways of life. A kind of frightening task for us. We didn't know the language. It had never been reduced to writing. There were no people that could go before us and tell us, this is how it is in this place. And that is what you need to keep in mind, and that's what you need to do. I had the privilege of going back to that part of the world last December 27th and be there until January 18th. And in that time, I came to the airport in Abuja. I was met there in the baggage claim by John O'Day. I didn't recognize him at first. John had been 8 years old when he worked in our house and stayed with us, and I didn't quite understand why he was there. But he helped me with my baggage, and at the door there were cameras and there were reporters and there was an entourage. And I came to understand that John O'Day was now like the Condoleezza Rice of the United States. He's now one of the 12 ministers of the federal government in Abuja. And as soon as these things had passed, the first thing that he needed to tell me was, "Dr. B, you know, I wasn't a Christian in those days. None of our family was Christian, but I want to tell you, I'm a Christian now, and all 50 of the people in our family are Christian." And I still think about that almost every day, that those were the first words that he needed to say to me. He's not a pastor. He's not the head of a congregation, but he understands himself very well to be part of that holy nation now. He knows very well what it means in 1 Peter 2:10, where it says, "Once you were not God's people. Once I and my family were people that worshiped many, many gods. We had many jujus. Each one had his own in his house. We had one for our whole extended family. We had one for our town. We had one for our entire people. But now things have changed. God has shown us mercy. And now we know that there is only one God, and we know that He is the one that we worship and serve. And we know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody comes to the Father except by Him. And I suppose as a typical American, I said, well, John, it's been 10 years, you know, since I've been here. I want to go back to Oklahoma and see if it's really true. But what a joy it was to go back to Oklahoma, to go into the area where that juju shrine stood for the extended family and see now that it was not there anymore, but rather it was the junk heap, as it were, for the families, where they kept their garbage. I suppose there was no one to collect it on Wednesdays like there is here. But what a tremendous change had taken place. And those are significant pictures to me. And then as I asked his father, his mother, his brothers, his sisters, and all of the young ones that were there, and came to realize that a transformation had taken place. And I thought to myself, I was baptized at 3 years of age. I don't quite sense the transformation like John Ude does. And how excited he gets about it every time he thinks about it. And how he sees himself now as being someone, in terms of 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, who has heard this good message among many witnesses. And as Paul told Timothy, now you take this and trust it to others. We're going to be able to teach others yet. In those days, when John was in our home, there were no lawyers, there were no doctors, there were no educated people, there were very few who could read and write. Today, as we look at Deuteronomy 28:9, it has happened for them, the blessings that God talks about. There are now a group of 300 educated people who call themselves the Yala Christian Club. Think of it, the most educated, the most influential people have banded themselves together into the Yala Christian. They, on their own, not part of the Lutheran Church of Nigeria, but just from those Yala men, have sent missionaries into the Cameroons to take the good news that they received to other of the tribes that still haven't gotten it along the border where they live. And it does take time, you know, for sanctification to set in. One of the things that we learned after being there for some years is that people were divided into two classes, slave and free. Those who were born of slave mothers were considered slaves. And if a slave man had enough money to pay dowry on a free woman, his children would be free. 2 years ago, the men of the Yala Christian Club came home for Christmas, which they always do from Lagos, from Abuja, from Calabar, from Enugu, from wherever they may come, some from America. They gathered all the chiefs and elders and they said, there's something yet that needs to be dealt with. We always mark ourselves as slave or free by saying that freeborns can only be buried on certain days of the week and slaves on others. 3 of the 5 days, in Yala you don't have a 7-day week, it's a 5-day week. 3 of the days for freeborn and 2 days for slave. And they said, you know, even though we don't buy and sell people, we still know who is slave and free. This needs to stop. And the whole group together, the elders, the tribe, agreed with these men that from now on, anyone can bury whenever they want to bury. And it made me realize how this powerful word of God works, not only to give us knowledge of salvation in Jesus Christ for all eternity, but how this word of God works like yeast through the dough of the culture and way of life of people. So headhunting is no more. So human sacrifice is no more. And now even slavery is no more. And as John Ode or his people read this passage from Deuteronomy, they say, yes, this has come true in our own lifetime. Maybe their children and children's children won't remember so well. But they remember, and they help me remember. And I want all of us to remember that these words of God are true for us too, not only for people and nations that are hearing it for the first time. We are a set apart people. We belong to God. We have the privilege of passing that message on to others so that their lives too may be transformed. Would you stand with me to pray? Dear God and Father, we love what Peter says in his book, where he says that we have been chosen to tell the excellent qualities of God, who's called us too out of darkness into his marvelous light. Help us, Lord, to enjoy that light and share that light with others. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.